You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Toronto Blue Jays with MLB.com Blue Jays beat reporter Gregor Chisholm. Gregor, we are just about there. It is just about time for everybody in baseball to get on airplanes and go south or west or both. I feel like the Jays are really one of the more interesting teams going into camp, certainly one of the more interesting contenders, because it feels like they have more questions than a lot of the teams that view themselves as contenders, a couple of big ones in particular. And I want to start with the ninth inning. You wrote recently that it looks like maybe a two-man race. What's your understanding of what they're looking at right now as far as the ninth inning?
Yeah, I think it really is down to two guys, and those two guys would be Brett Cecil and Aaron Sanchez. And Aaron Sanchez is a particularly interesting candidate because, you know, it wasn't that long ago that it really seemed like the Blue Jays wanted to use him in the fifth spot of the rotation. But I think that was at a time when they really expected to do a little bit more with the bullpen than they were able to do in the end. So I think now, out of necessity, they really have to move him into the bullpen just because they really do need another right-handed power arm. And he filled that role for the Jays last year in the second half and really excelled in that, really went to the next level. And it was really a flawless debut for him last year. So he's going to be very strongly in the mix. And then the other guy, Cecil, is someone who's been very reliable over the last couple of years, ever since he made the transition from a starter into the bullpen. Now, the question with him is whether or not the Blue Jays would be best served keeping him more in the role that he's been in, where he's been a guy that you could bring in anywhere from the sixth inning to the eighth inning, depending on the situation. He's been a high-leverage guy. But he's someone who Gibbons in the past hasn't shied away from using for a full inning either. He's not someone who is your traditional lefty specialist. Gibbons hasn't been afraid to use him in a bit more of an expanded role. So it really is going to be between those two guys. And the fact that Sanchez now looks like he's going to the pen, that does hurt the rotation a little bit, but there's no question that it gives them a much-needed arm down there, because there really isn't much from the right side unless the Blue Jays are really hoping that someone like Steve Belabar has a big comeback year compared to what he was in 2014.
And will it just be basically a straight competition, whoever pitches best is the guy, or will it be one of those things where it sort of depends on how other pieces fit together?
I think it's going to depend on how other pieces fit together. I think some of it will depend on whether or not the Blue Jays can find another lefty that's reliable. You know, if Rob Rasmussen makes the team, he pitched a little bit for the Blue Jays last year. If he can become another lefty for the Blue Jays to use, I think they really like the ability to have two lefties, someone else to go along with a guy like Aaron Loop kind of in the middle innings. So if they can get someone else to kind of slot into those middle innings, and then it could be a guy like Cecil. If not, they might look at it and be like, we really need Cecil's, you know, innings to come from the same role as he's been in, from the sixth to eighth, because, you know, he's definitely been a valuable piece. So I think it's going to be a little bit more than just the performance, but, you know, it's clear that the Blue Jays are really just looking at those two guys. The only one who might be a little bit of a dark horse is Aaron Loop, but, you know, everything that John Gibbons and Alex Anthopoulos have said over the last couple of weeks, it really is a two-man race, and there's no question that both of those guys will pitch in the late innings. It's just a matter of which order they will go in. And you know, Gibbons is also a guy who typically likes to have a closer. He likes to have guys who have defined roles. So while there might be a feeling out phase in the spring, I think for the most part, ideally they would like to avoid the closer by committee. They would like to give someone the title, so that everyone knows exactly where they're slotted in, when they need to be warmed up, and what part of the order that they're expected to face.
And you touched on this some, but this does, at least in some ways, connect to the question about the back of the rotation. How do you see that shaking down? And again, as we sort of look ahead to spring training, how do you think they go about answering that question? Not just what's the answer, but kind of how do they get to the answer of that question as they go through spring training?
Yeah, absolutely. And that one will definitely come down to performance. It's going to be between Marco Estrada and Daniel Norris. I think ideally the Blue Jays would probably give Norris a little bit more time in the minor leagues. Almost a similar approach to what they did with Marcus Stroman last year, where, you know, by all accounts, there was some talk last spring that he might be ready for opening day and might be ready to go. But the Blue Jays wanted to give him a little bit more time in the minors, so they brought him along a little bit slowly at first. Then he came up, made his first appearance in the bullpen, and then by late May was in the Jays' rotation for good for the rest of the year. I wouldn't be surprised if they take a very similar approach with Norris. I think he'd really, really have to shine in spring training in order to get that role. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if Estrada is the guy coming out of camp, but that job's also not going to be handed to him. So if he struggles in spring, that could certainly change things. But he's a bit more of a veteran presence in the rotation. He's a guy who, you know, his numbers last year in Milwaukee, there's no question that the numbers were better in the bullpen. And originally that was something that the Blue Jays were kind of looking at him doing in Toronto as well. But he does have kind of a versatile and durable arm, someone who can eat up some innings at the back end of that rotation. So I think he's the guy who would start with the job as long as things go well for him in spring training, but he's also someone who's going to have to pitch well pretty much the entire time in order to keep that job, because there's no question that Norris is going to become a factor at some point. And as we all know, you need a lot more starters than just five. And if Norris doesn't make the team on opening day, it won't be long before he gets that opportunity to grab a rotation spot. And then the hope is once he eventually gets it, that he doesn't give it up.
And then there's the one, to me, seems like big question in the lineup, and there may be another, but the big question in the lineup is second base. And it's kind of the same question. On the one hand, how do you think it turns out? But also, you know, how do they get there? Are they trying to figure out, is Goins the guy? Are they trying to figure out a way to get Devin Travis in there? How exactly do you see them apportioning playing time and sort of trying to answer that question this spring?
Yeah, that's going to be really one of the competitions to watch, because there's really a lot of guys in the mix and there's not really a clear-cut candidate to take over the starting job. I mean, technically it was up for grabs last spring as well, but I mean, I think everybody knew that the job was belonged to Ryan Goins. I mean, he didn't have a very good spring, yet he ended up being the opening day guy. Now, the problem always with him has been, the production with the bat. There's no question about the glove. The Blue Jays love the ability that he has to cover a lot of ground, and he really is a plus defender up the middle. So there's definitely the benefit of that, but he has to give them something with the bat in order to justify giving him regular playing time, and that's something he hasn't been able to do. If you're hitting below 200, doesn't really matter how good your glove is, you're not going to be able to make up for the almost automatic out that he has been at times during his major league career. So he's definitely going to be in the mix again, but he's going to have to show something. I think someone to really watch this spring is going to be Meister Asturias. He was someone who, you know, at the start of last year really started to seem like he was taking that job away from Ryan Goins, and then he tripped on the dugout steps and ruined his knee and was gone for the year in April. So, 2 years ago, he was also the guy, and he really kind of struggled. Last year was supposed to be his bounce back year. But now they're hoping that it's going to be this year. And the big thing for him is going to be how much movement he has, whether he still has the ability to cover some ground at second base. He's supposed to have made a full recovery, supposed to be fully ready for spring training. But I don't think anyone really knows the type of performance you can expect out of him until you actually see him on the field every day. But as of now, I would say he's probably the favorite to win some time. And Travis is almost similar to the way that they treated some of the pitchers, just like we were talking about with Norris. I wouldn't be surprised if they want to start him off in the minor leagues. I think that's an ideal situation for him. He's never played above Double-A. I think they'd like to get him some time at Triple-A Buffalo, bring him along a little bit more slowly at the start of the year, and then kind of make way for a mid-season call-up, and then the job probably belongs to him. But I mean, that also is something that could change in the spring. If he comes out and really excels and really outperforms everybody else at second base, there's no question that because of the lack of, you know, really legitimate candidates at that spot, Travis is probably the one with the most upside. So if he comes in and proves that he's ready, he's also a guy that could steal that job away from a more veteran guy like Asturias or even someone like Goins. But for now, I wouldn't be surprised if that's more of a late May, early June type scenario.
And then the last what seems like an opening, though it seems also a little clearer, is center field. It seems like there's a favorite there, but also until it's settled, it's not really settled. How do you see center field coming together?
Yeah, Dalton Pompey should be the guy. I think it would be a major upset if anything happens there during spring training. But the thing with him is I mean, he really came out of nowhere for the most part last year. He really established himself as one of the club's top prospects as the season progressed. But he wasn't really on the radar before that. And, you know, he really performed in September and caught a lot of attention and really basically won the starting center fielder job for this year during a two-week stretch last September. So there's some danger with that because the sample size is incredibly small from his time in the major leagues, and I don't think anyone can really predict exactly how he's going to do. But as of now, that job definitely belongs to him. He's going to receive a little bit of competition from a guy like Kevin Pillar. I think the worst-case scenario would see the Blue Jays being forced to move someone like Michael Saunders into center field. Right now, that's not on the table. They like him in left field better than center. But if something happens midway through the year where Pompey's really not performing with the bat, that's something that they could look at as a backup situation. But for now, Pompey's the guy. They seem to have lots of faith that he, you know, even though he's a rookie, that he has a mentality a little bit more of a guy who's, you know, 4 or 5 years older than he actually is. So they think he's going to be quick to adapt this season. But he has to be considered a question mark just because the track record isn't really there yet. And I mean, this is a guy who began last year in Class A Dunedin. So it's a testament to how far he's come, but he's going to need to prove early on that he belongs as well.
All right, well, Gregory Chisholm, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.